2 Timothy 2, verses 14 through 16, these are God's words. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. The apostle is giving Timothy instruction here. Yes, for himself, that he would be willing to endure all things. That's kind of where we have just recently come out of. He reminds him that the Lord Jesus faced death and was raised from the dead. He reminds him that he, Paul, was willing to endure much for the sake of Jesus Christ. And then he's quoted to him from their catechism, from which we have several samples in these faithful sayings passages in 1 and 2 Timothy, talking about union with Christ and how enduring in union with Christ on earth is just the predecessor to reigning in union with Christ forever. But he hasn't lost sight of the fact that he's not just talking to Timothy for Timothy's sake. You remember at the beginning of chapter 2, he said, "The things that you have heard, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." In other words, he's giving Timothy advice as a seminary professor or a seminary president, as he gives him instruction both for himself as a minister to endure hardship, and then he says, reminding them of these things, that those who are trained to be ministers, teachers, preachers of God's people, among the eldership of God's people, that they too must endure hardship, that they too must be diligent, that they too must be dependent upon the means of grace. They are these soldiers and athletes and farmers, to use the illustrations that he has used earlier in the chapter. Now, somebody who is committed to a mission of ministering God's word has different pitfalls into which he may fall, different distractions and ways of failing in his task, in his assignment, of which he is in danger. And so he says, remind them of these things. In other words, remind them that the main thing here is union with Christ. And the main thing in the preaching and teaching ministry is that those who hear would hear Jesus. And by the Spirit giving them life, they would not only hear Jesus in that life, but they would believe into Jesus and receive continually from him life by his word in relationship with him. That's what we are doing. That's why we come to the Bible all the time in family worship, and why you should in your private worship, and why we do so in the public worship. We're having fellowship with Christ himself by means of his word, and he gives his life to be in us by his Spirit blessing his word to us. Well, this is a very high view of preaching and teaching. But those who know the truth and those who are defending the truth from error are tempted not to think of the use of the truth in terms of facilitating this glorious life in union with Christ that we've just been hearing about in verses 11 through 13. And so he says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord. It's pretty serious instruction here. We've just been upgraded from remind them of wonderful truths from their catechism to now charge them before the face of God to apply those truths. And here's the first part of applying those truths, not to strive about words. And this is one of the famous Pauline mashups. It's one word that takes a word for warring and battling, a verb for warring and battling, and attaches it to it, the root for words. And he says, Tell them not to word battle. The truth is something to be taught, is something to be defended, but always in application to life, always pointing to Christ, always preaching and teaching union with Christ. It is not something to sit around and word joust. That's not a way to have fun, or even worse than having fun, to make it a kind of personal contest and go at each other and see who can win the most points in a battle. No, the truth is to be preached and taught and defended, but it is to be done, aiming at union with Christ, to be used by Christ for the good of others. And if you, as the preacher and teacher, get into the habit of using the truth for word battling, then you will find that those who hear you either do the same and ruin themselves, or are ruined just by your own word battling. And so he says, not charging them before the Lord, not to word battle to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. There's a way to ruin others. It is a way to ruin ourselves. I'm very concerned because of the way that in our congregation, I know many of you have just taken the option of withdrawing or maybe meekly spending time with older people, which is wonderful and good for you. But this is one of the reasons why I'm so concerned about the way that the social times, hardly call it fellowship, because the greatest fellowship is worship. The social times in our congregation get stratified, because there's something about young people that when they get hold of theology, unless they are gripped by the Lord Jesus and who he is and what he has done and what he is doing, they end up in the word battling and in the two other things that we were warned about in verse 16, which is what happens when there's word battling without knowledge. But in verse 14, warning about word battling with knowledge. And he says, be diligent. So the first is, don't misuse it. Don't take something that is designed for effecting union with Christ and advancing experience of an application of union with Christ. Don't take something that the Spirit uses to be those things and just word battle. And now he says, be diligent. So here's what you do instead. If preachers and teachers who are supposed to defend the truth, one of the main things in 1 and 2 Timothy is defending the truth from error, if they're not to be word battling, what are they to do? He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. And so this is the first thing that will help you stay out of word battling, is forgetting to some measure the fact that you're before the face of other people, and remembering, first of all, that you're before the face of God. And so how you engage those other people needs to serve the Lord properly. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker. Okay, so rather, you know, when you're in the conversation, rather than considering yourself to be engaged in a battle with somebody else, you are now on assignment from God. You have a job to serve the Lord. And what is the service that preachers and teachers in particular have assigned to them? To present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or guiding straightly, is a little bit more literal and I think a little bit more helpful. Guiding straightly through the word of truth, that the word of truth is literally a guide to take you from the city of destruction to the celestial city. If we can borrow Bunyan's origin and destination language there. And so the word of truth is something for guiding people straightly to God himself and taking into account this section of their catechism in verses 11 through 13 on union with Christ to guide people straightly through union with Christ, not to teach the word in a crooked way, which is to misunderstand it, not to misuse it for some other purpose than to direct them unto God in union with Christ, but to guide straightly, to use the word properly, to understand it properly, and to use it for its proper purpose, which is hard work, because many people misunderstand it, and they need to be taught. There's this duty to, with all patience and instruction, that he's going to be commanding Timothy about not too far from now in this letter. They misunderstand it, and they want to misuse it. And they're going to resist repenting of their sin. And if they're infatuated with some area of theology to their harm, not considering it in proportion, in its biblical proportion and connection to the rest of Bible truth, they will want to emphasize that area. And often those who have something that's out of proportion that they focus on to the detriment of other areas of Bible truth, will not surprise you to know that they're often in error in whatever area they're focusing on, because it's been taken out of its connection to Christ and to the rest of the Bible truth, which allows small mistaken ideas to metastasize like cancer, and the area of their unique interest becomes an area of unique error. And so this need to use, to understand rightly, and to connect Bible truth to all the rest of the Bible truth, which will bring it into line in its right use, guiding the Lord's people to faith in Christ and union with Christ, all the way home to God, who has redeemed us in his Son. And so the minister, the elder in the congregation, and then with perhaps less training required, and not as great knowledge required or skill perhaps, but still with great responsibility, the husband or father in the home must be a diligent worker, guiding straightly through the truth, which means he doesn't have time to misuse the truth for word battling and to cheapen the truth on his lips by word battling. And he should shun two other things that increase unto ungodliness. Verse 16, what is the word that's translated profane here is literally the word for babblings. And the word that's translated idle babblings here is a mashup of the root for empty and the root for sounds. So babblings and empty sounds. And it is a little bit shocking, but is intentional so that you may know as far as what you're really doing before God and what you're really doing to other souls when you do the word battling, when you don't use scripture properly understood in the right way for its right purposes, then as far as God is concerned, it is babblings and empty sounds. It's theological sounding gibberish. And as far as the people with whom you are speaking, it's unhelpful. It doesn't lead them to faith in Christ. It doesn't lead them to love and obey Christ and walk with him and grow in their union with him. And so it leads to ungodliness, because instead of using the truth of the word of God in the right way, in dependence upon God the Spirit, we're using it for our own purposes, and it doesn't do them any more good than if you had just been doing baby talk and making weird noises. It sounds like theological words all strung together. It may even sound like cogent arguments, but it is ruining the hearers, because it is not the word of God being rightly understood and used for the right purposes. And so may God be merciful to us, merciful to me. Help me as a minister, preacher, and a teacher, and as your dad, as your husband, to handle the truth well in the congregation and in the home. But you also must have a value, must value the right way of using the Bible, and seek that for yourself and for others. You won't get into the word jousting, and you won't do the babbling and empty talk, but always guiding straightly through the word of truth, which aims at reconciliation with God and the Lord Jesus Christ in union with him unto the glory of God's grace and the glory of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us to put in the hard work that it takes to grow in our knowledge of and understanding of your word. We pray that your Spirit would use your word to stir up our faith in Christ, that we might know and experience union with him. We pray that you would make us useful in the lives of others in whatever role you have appointed to us. Help me especially, O Lord, in this season of my life, for your church and for this household of those who belong to you. And pray especially for the boys, that you would help them to understand the Bible and to grow in that understanding, but especially to understand how to be a worker who is diligent and who's unashamed and who guides rightly whomever you entrust to them. We thank you, Lord, that in all of this we are not merely entrusted to men, but entrusted to you and to the word of your grace. And we pray that you would bless that to us, that word to us, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.